Okay, Wednesday, 11/6/24. The title is called God Supplies. This morning I'm thinking, Lord, what do you want me to bring? I didn't have any idea. I've got things for Sunday, but I just was sitting there and the Lord began to speak to me, so I'm going to bring you what he gave me to bring. All right, the first scripture is Philippians 4:19. Wasn't no more thinking about this, but it's like sometimes I hear a passage of scripture, you know, kind of just a thought. Okay. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Whose riches? His riches. Here's what supply means. I read it to you many times. To make replete, to cram a net, level up a hollow, to furnish, satisfy, execute, or verify. So it is God supplying, not you supplying. Understand? It's not you supplying. It's him supplying. Okay, Romans 8:14, we all know what that says. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I had the Lord speak to this to me this morning. And he started to talk to me about when Jesus sent his disciples out, what he told them. All right, we're going to look at that. Matthew chapter 10. Starting at verse 7 there. See, we go on missions. God requires us to do things for him, whatever it may be. It may be long term, it may be short term. And so we have to look at it that way. We're on this, the master's business, the commander in chief, that's what I read. We're on assignment, just like a soldier's on assignment. We're soldiers of the Lord. Our life is not our own anymore. We don't have a life except in him. All right. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. In other words, you don't need to load yourself up. Is that what it's saying? Nor script in for your journey. I didn't look up script. I don't know what that is. Nor script. Do you know, Danny?
Yeah, it's right here. It's just a bag.
Oh, okay.
Like
to fill up stuff in?
Yeah.
Nor script for your journey. Neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves. What's staves? For the workman is worthy of his meat. Who's providing here? You or God?
A staff.
Okay. Into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. In other words, the Lord's going to open a door of opportunity for you, a place to stay. And when you come into an house, salute it. Put your blessing on it. That's what he's saying. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. I'm telling you, this is what the Lord's, this scripture right here, it's a passage. I'm going, okay. When God is sending you on a mission is something that he is requiring you to do. He aims to provide for you as you start your journey. Do y'all want me to bring you what the Lord is saying? Okay. Many years ago, the Lord gave me this saying, where God guides, He provides. When He calls you to do whatever He calls you to do, He's not asking you to equip yourself to do so. He's requiring you to follow Him. And He does the giving and the things that you need, whatever it is, the anointing, the means to do it. All right, Mark 6. It's in here three times. Starting with verse 7 there. And He called unto Him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits, commanding them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no script, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. And He said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into a house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when ye depart thence, shake off the dust of your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. We come back to Matthew 6:33 right here. They were about the master's business. They didn't care about what they needed to eat or drink or wear or anything else. They were dependent on Him. He said He'd provide. What was He doing? He's trying to teach him to depend on Him. Not on themselves, on Him. All right, Luke 9. He must have meant it because he said it three times. Luke 9:1. Then He called His 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And He said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, nor neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Divine supply also indicates divine connections. Now, back in that day, people invited people into their home. If you're expecting all the supply and all the connections before you will step out, then you will probably miss God. Ecclesiastes 11:4. I had something else in mind maybe I was supposed to see. This is what the Lord said bring. This operation does what God wants them to do. Ecclesiastes 11:4. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. In other words, if you wait till all conditions are favorable, you never will. See, faith is stepping out, trusting God, what He has said. All right. When you put your mind to it, it becomes complicated and seems impossible to accomplish. But every journey starts with what? A step. Not a leap. It's not the race of faith. It's not the leap of faith. It is a step of faith. And He'll provide for every step, right? Every journey. Every step of the journey. All right. After the disciples of Jesus returned, He asked them this question. This is Luke 22. This is verse 35. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Nothing. Divine provision is based on obedience. If you're waiting for all things to be favorable, you won't go. Because humans think they got to have every duck in the row. Lord says, I said go. All right, let's keep going here. Luke 17. You know, a lot of times, like we've said before, we're waiting on God. God said, I've already told you this first step. Okay. 17, starting with 11 there. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. That's faith, right? And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. He got an extra blessing. He was made whole. The others were healed. So they might look like lepers for the rest of their life, but it wasn't going to progress any further. But this man was made whole as if he had never, ever been sick. This is the way Jesus operated. This is Matthew chapter 9. All right. Starting with verse 18 there. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter's now even now dead, but come and lay thy hand on her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him and his disciples. And behold, a woman. Wait a minute, I don't think that's right. Hold on. I'm in Matthew. Is that where I told y'all to go? Mm-hmm. What have I written down wrong? Just a minute. That's not the passage that I wanted. Anyway, do you know where that is, Danny? It's the man that wanted to, Jesus told him to go do something. He said, well, let me go back first to my home and tell everybody goodbye. And he said, is it? Well, maybe I just wrote it down wrong. No, I don't see it. Oh, here it is. It's 8, but it's starting with 18. All right, it's 8. Right here. Now, when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart to the other side. A certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds in the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. Now we know Jesus had a house because, wasn't Peter, James, and John, whoever were following him, he said, where are you abiding? And he said, come and see. So Jesus had a house, but when he was on the road, he didn't have any place to lay his head. says, "Is it another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer the first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me and let the dead bury their dead." Right here, the man wanted to take care of all his affairs before he was willing to go and join in with Jesus and the team. Now we know, we looked at this, was it last Wednesday or was it Sunday, where they left their dad and their business and everything and went follow Jesus. Jesus operated in divine supply. He obeyed God and God provided. That was how his whole operation was. This is Matthew 14. Matthew 14:14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "There is a desert place, and time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves, 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Divine supply. All right, 15, kind of the same thing, just a different account, 29:15. And Jesus departed from thence that came nigh to the Sea of Galilee, and went up into the mountain, and sat down and there, and great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered, and they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorify the God of Israel. Now Jesus said unto his disciples, or they said unto him and said, "I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way." And his disciples say unto him, "Whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude?" And Jesus saith unto them, "How many loaves have ye?" And they said, 7 and a few little fish." He commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks, and brake them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. They did all eat, and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full, and they that did eat were 4,000 men, besides women and children. So that's the way Jesus operated. It wasn't a fleshly operation. It was divine supply. All right, on Sunday we talked about the tax money in the fish's mouth. Even after this, Peter went back to his old fishing days like the pig back to the mire. It's the same old stuff. It's like Jesus had never even been there. Back to the fishing. Back to what I used to do. Back to my old ways. Okay. The only labor that we need to be about is laboring to enter into God's rest. God's rest. He said he cares for us and that we were to cast that care on him. This is Hebrews chapter 3. Starting with verse 7. "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice," you know, that's why he said keep today, "harden not your hearts as in the provocation of the day of the temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, which while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. You know, they just didn't want to obey God. They couldn't go into the promised land. They couldn't attain what God had for them because they could not do it God's way. I'm not going to read Psalm 78. It's pretty long and lengthy, but it says, Ephraim was fully armed with battle gear to go in and take the promised land, but he turned back. Because they couldn't understand how God operated. They couldn't see how they were going to go in and beat the giants. They thought the giants would beat them. Well, you know, they come out of the Babylonian system. They were used to being beat down. So when you're used to being beat down, it's hard for you to let go and say, well, God's not going to allow me to be beat down because I'm following his lead and he's showing me what to do. And I think that's what all this is about, is learning to let God do what he wants to do. Because we've done it our own way all our lives and we've made a mess, haven't we? Well, if we want divine supply, then we have to listen to the divine, don't we? And get his instructions. Do what he says to do. Not add to or take away. With the manna, what'd they do? Said, okay, I'm going to give it to you every day. Just gather enough for your household. Don't leave any of it. Or, you know, well, they left it. It bred worms and stank. But on Saturday, they were not supposed to gather it on the Sabbath, so they gathered for 2 days, and it didn't stink. God gave them little instructions along the way to try to teach them to do things his way. And if they would do things his way, divine supply showed up and supernaturally provided for them, whatever the case may be. So, for whatever, whoever reason that the Lord had me bring this, he wants to supply us. I know that. So, let's just let him do it. Let's try our best to rest. Okay?